I know we've all heard the Christmas story many, many times. I was thinking how interesting it would be to just picture the events of that Christmas Eve many, many years ago in the form of some snapshots. So I have this little picture album, and it has 11 pictures in it. And it can be anything you want. If you want 4x6 prints that I hand to you one at a time, that's fine. If you want a picture album where you put them underneath the plastic, how many know about those little picture albums, and flip the page, we can do that. Or if you'd rather have them on your smartphone and we just do like this and go to the next picture, that'll be fine as well. We do it all here. We have all the technology. But let's go to picture number one. Picture number one is of a man with his pregnant wife making their way down a winding mountain trail. The woman is on a donkey and the man walks beside her. They look like they may be peasants, and they both look tired and weary from travel. Snapshot number two. A busy innkeeper is in deep conversation with a newly arrived couple. He seems to be pointing to a stable in a cave at the back of the courtyard. Snapshot three. A woman is in labor, lying on the floor of a filthy, dimly lit stable. Her husband is trying to comfort her. Snapshot number four. We see several shepherds on a country hillside. Though it is nighttime, they appear to be shielding their eyes from a blinding light, and they appear extremely frightened. Snapshot number five. What looks like an angelic being appears to be making some type of announcement to the terrified shepherds. Snapshot number six. A whole company of angels surrounds the angel from the previous picture, and they look like they might be singing. Snapshot number seven. The night sky is once again dark, and the shepherds are in animated conversation. One of them seems to be pointing toward a village in the distance. Snapshot number eight. We see a beaming mother in a dimly lit stable with her husband nearby and a newborn baby lying in a feeding trough. The shepherds from the hillside are there with a look of wonder and amazement on their faces as they gaze at the baby lying in the manger. Snapshot number nine. The baby's father and mother are in animated conversation with the shepherds, and the shepherds are beaming as they nod their heads. Snapshot number 10. The shepherds are on their way back to the hillside. Their hands are raised heavenward, and their faces are radiant with joy. Something life-changing has obviously happened to them. Something they will never forget. And snapshot 11, the baby in the feeding trough sleeps peacefully. Nearby are the mother and her husband getting some needed rest as well, and even the little donkey seems to have settled in for a nap. All is peaceful and calm. But what is it about this baby that makes him seem different in a way that's hard to pinpoint from all the rest? Or did I just imagine it? Well, we know now This is no ordinary baby. This is the baby that we've been reading about. This is the baby whose birth was announced beforehand by the angel. This is the baby that is conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is the baby who is God in the flesh, God incarnate. This is the baby who will be called the Son of God. This is the baby who is God with us, Emmanuel. This is the baby whose name is Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. This is none other than the long-promised Messiah, the anointed one, who God promised would come and deliver his people. Not only will he deliver the nation of Israel, but he will deliver men and women, both Jew and Gentile, from bondage to sin, from a sentence of eternal death, and will forever transform their lives, and will literally, with his arrival, comes hope. And all of this was accomplished, in a sense, in one night's work. In one night, because of the birth of this child, our world went from darkness to light, from no hope to all the hope that there could possibly be. And our futures were changed forever. That's why we are gathered here tonight. And this baby who then grew up became the one that we learned about in Sunday school. How many were in Sunday school growing up? If you haven't heard about him in Sunday school, you've heard about him in church. And if you haven't heard about him in church, you've heard about him some other way. In this country, I think just about everybody has heard about him. You may not have heard the story exactly accurately, but you've heard about him, or you've read about him on TV, through the media, through the internet, or whatever. We have all heard about him. And this baby, of course, we know grows up, and at age 30, he begins the ministry that he was called to. It begins with his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Then he goes into the wilderness to be tempted and to be tested, because he has to be tested in every way. He faces three separate temptations, and he deals with all of them successfully in the same way that he would want us to deal with temptation, and that is going back to the Word of God. And then begins his ministry, and we talked about that in some detail in last Sunday's service, and all the lives that were ministered to, and all of the people who were delivered and changed forever. And then, of course, comes the other part of the story, where he is rejected. I was just listening today again to one of my favorite Christmas songs by Mahalia Jackson, "Sweet Little Jesus Boy." We didn't know who you were. It says in the book of John, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to those who believe on his name, he gave the power to become sons of God. And so we're here again tonight to announce what? The arrival, the birth of the Savior. And to say to each and every person, it's wonderful to know the story, but are you in the story? You're not in the story until you yourself, we are not in the story, until each of us individually have made that personal profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of our sins, cast ourselves entirely upon him for our salvation. And then at that point, we are part of the story. And if we're not, we won't be in heaven. We won't be one of those, because he is the only way in. He said, "I am the door." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So no, this is no ordinary baby. I just read today that somebody was ordered to take down a manger scene using zombies. And I'm thinking, how typical. And that tells us of the spiritual warfare that is going on. People don't do that to other figures from history. They only do it to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why? Because he's the real deal. And the enemy knows it. And he's afraid. And he knows that his day is at hand. And that his day is coming. But no, the world is different tonight. Oh, there's a lot. How many would agree there's a lot of conflict in the world tonight? At Christmas time, we talk a lot about peace and joy and hope. Yes, that's the peace and the joy and the hope that every individual person knows that has the Lord Jesus living and abiding in their heart. But so far as world peace, forget that. It isn't happening. We can't even be unified in our own nation. And around the world, there is more carnage going on right now than I can just about, even though there's no major war, there's more carnage going on. And in the Middle East in particular, almost more than I can remember. And it's one of the biggest untold stories, how that Christians by the tens of thousands are being dislodged from their homes and left homeless and killed and having their children killed on a daily basis in the Middle East right now. The Middle East is being purged of the Christian population, day by day by day. These people, many of them, are laying down their lives just in the way that the early believers did. Many of them gave their lives for their faith. But they who are giving their lives, they have the peace, they have the hope, and they have the joy because they have Jesus. And that's the only way we're going to have the peace and the hope and the joy. Because there won't be peace in general until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. I'm looking for that day. Are you? Yes. And I just want to read this. We've had it sung here different times, but I just think it expresses it so well concerning this wonderful babe. He is God's gift to us. We like to give and receive gifts at Christmas time. But there'll never be a gift like the original. And this is God's gift to us. The gift of eternal life in his Son. But Mark Lowry wrote this. Many of you know this song and have heard it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Do you know him? Have you really received him? And has he really made a difference in your life? 2015 is only 8 days away. We don't know what it holds. And even if we knew, we wouldn't be able to do a lot about a whole lot of it. But there's one thing that we can do, and that is we can make sure before the new year begins that we have completely given and surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we already know him, we can make sure that we have rededicated ourselves to him. Because I tell you what, he gave everything he was for us so we could spend eternity with him. So it's no small thing if we offer everything that we are unconditionally to Him. In a few minutes, we're going to have communion. And the reason we serve this communion is because it reminds us of the price that He ultimately paid for our sins. No man, no woman anywhere can be religious enough, good enough, or generous enough to earn their salvation. All of us at some point have to say, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. In spite of my sincerity, in spite of my good intentions, in spite of my best efforts, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that it's only by the blood of Jesus that I can be cleansed and made right to enter your presence. I want to be cleansed by that blood. And I also believe that because of the stripes He bore, I am healed. That's what the communion is about. So let's think of those things as we prepare our hearts for communion. And after this very brief prayer, we have a little video presentation. And the song is one that, it's retro, it goes back, but it talks about this man we've been talking about tonight. And we're indebted, it's in the bulletin, to Emily Marshall. She put together the video to go with this for us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we do thank You tonight, and oh, there's nothing we can do, certainly, to repay what You've done for us, but we can offer ourselves to You as a living sacrifice. So, Lord, tonight, even as we come to remember the birth of our Lord, may we offer ourselves anew to You, oh, Lord, to be used in any way that You see fit. For You have given all for us, and we want our lives to bring glory to You. The glory and the praise all belong to Jesus. We pray these things in His name. Amen.